The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Are you familiar with the tradition of a wishing well? It was common folklore in Europe that wells not only supplied life-giving water, but also where one could seek other blessings that made life joyful and fruitful. After arriving at the well, the person made a wish and then threw a coin into the well as a sort of offering to the gods to grant their wish. And one of the best known wells in the world is Rome's Trevi Fountain. After all, what is a fountain but a well for which you do not need a bucket because the water comes to you? And what do tourists in Rome customarily do at Trevi Fountain? Well, they throw a coin into the water and make a wish. In other words, not all wells are ancient and obsolete. Some are quite common and contemporary. In the gospel today, a Samaritan woman goes to a traditional wishing well in Palestine called Jacob's Well. But when she arrives, she discovers that Jesus has arrived earlier. He beat her there and was waiting for her. And that is how it always is with God. He is already waiting for us long before we go to him, to church, to make our prayer or to make our wish. He knows what we need long before it occurs to us and we think to ask. Indeed, Jesus has been waiting for the Samaritan woman from all eternity. Now, Jacob's well was not for making any old wish, like people do in Rome at Trevi Fountain. Rather, it was for meeting your future spouse. And therefore, the wish had a very specific purpose, namely marriage. A well, in other words, is where you went to pick up chicks. In Genesis 29, Jacob met the alluring Rachel at this well and fell head over heels in love with her. That is then the biblical backdrop for the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. That is, they are both there to make a wish, and that wish concerns love and marriage. So it should not surprise us that in verse 16, Jesus turns the conversation to the subject of the woman's husband. He says, "Go call your husband and come back." In a sense, Jesus is checking to see if she is free or unattached and therefore available for courtship. I guess Jesus couldn't just look at the wedding ring on her left hand, so he had to ask her point blank, "Hey, are you married?" Not the greatest pickup line in the history of manhood. The Samaritan woman confesses, somewhat ashamed, "I do not have a husband." In other words, "I'm sort of available and I'm sort of not." And Jesus clarifies her comment, "You are right in saying, I do not have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." In Spanish, we say, Él puso su dedo en la llaga, meaning he put his finger on the sore spot, or literally, he put his finger in the wound. But Jesus had to put his finger in the wound so he could heal it. Like a doctor who asks while touching the patient's body, does it hurt here? And he pushes on the sore spot and causes pain. One of my jobs in the Diocese of Little Rock, Arkansas, is to work on the marriage tribunal with annulments. If someone is married and gets a divorce and wants to marry again in the Catholic Church, they have to obtain an annulment from the church. Part of the annulment process requires contacting the former spouse. And so the tribunal says to the petitioner, like Jesus, go call your husband. Which, like in the case of the Samaritan woman, meant your ex-spouse. In effect, the tribunal must poner el dedo en la llaga and touch the sore spot, a broken marriage, so we can heal a broken heart. And once Jesus has healed the Samaritan's heart, once the previous marriages to the five husbands have been annulled, she is ready to marry Jesus, her true husband. If we skip ahead to verse 28, we read a very telling line. The woman left her water jar and went into the town. In other words, she was now tasting the living water that Jesus had promised to give her earlier in verse 10. Have you ever noticed how people who fall in love often forget to eat or to drink? Why? Because they are now tasting far richer fare. Indeed, later in verse 32, Jesus tells his apostles, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Jesus was dining on richer fare too. My friends, Jesus has not just been waiting at a well from all eternity only for the Samaritan woman. He waits for all of us at Jacob's well. That is, all human love leaves us thirsting for more because we were made for divine love, for Jesus' love. Even if we have not had five husbands and are happily married, we all thirst for more. And ultimately, we thirst for the love of Jesus. He alone can fully satisfy our deepest thirst for happiness. We first encounter Christ at Jacob's well, sacramentally called the fount of baptism. At baptism, we are betrothed to Christ. And hence all babies are dressed in white, like a bride. After encountering Christ at the well of baptism, we fall in love with the Lord, and we too leave our water jar for human love behind, because we will be filled with the living water of Jesus' love. And finally, Jesus changes that living water into the Eucharistic wine when we taste Jesus himself at Mass. Why? Because baptism is betrothal, but Holy Communion is consummation. Praised be Jesus Christ.